welcome to Mid-Morning. I'm Lynn Ford. Dr. Mitch Cruz is a regular as opposed to an irregular Mid-Morning guest. Joining us on the third Tuesday of the month, he's the author of Restoration Road and host of the weekly TV show The Restoration Road. Broadcast locally on Sunday mornings at 7:30 on NBC 33, noon on MyFox TV, and 4 o'clock on ABC 21. You can learn more about Mitch and his ministry at MitchCruz.com. Good morning, Mitch.
Good morning.
Wait, you're not on yet.
I'm not?
There you are. Well, you're always on, but your mic wasn't on.
Good morning.
Last month, we began a four-part series on joy, joy in all things and at all times, learning from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians. And we began discussing how it's possible to experience joy even when we suffer. Experiencing joy begins with humility, seeing ourselves as servants of Christ and living out that identity. It grows in community, living life with other Christians. It flourishes as we pray for God to use our suffering to point others to Him. And finally, joy comes from Christ and through Christ, whose Spirit is alive in us. Last month's worksheet is available from the Mid-Morning homepage, as is today's. You just have to go to WBCL.org, and the show is also available on our archive. And if you've got an app for your smartphone, you can listen that way, and you can download it as an MP3, all kinds of ways to catch this show again. So, Mitch, that's what we did last month. Where are we headed today?
Joy in serving. And as I was preparing, I couldn't help but think about a guest we have with us today. And it kept coming to mind and coming to mind because I got to be a small part of his story over the last few weeks. And it is amazing what God is going to do through him, is doing through him, and how I think it'll restore the community. So I brought with me today Tom Strait.
Good morning.
How are you doing, Tom?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me.
That's
great.
You
know what I love about you, Mitch? You don't waste any time.
Oh, I can tell a few stories.
No, by that I mean, you know, you've been connected with Tom for just a few weeks,
okay,
rather than saying, well, let's just sort of watch this happen, and 3 months from now we'll take a second look and we'll think about doing it. You're the kind of guy that when you see the Lord at work, you really want to jump in and celebrate it, be a part of it, watch it happen, pray it through from the front end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really do. I enjoy that. And as I heard his heart, which we'll talk about, I just had all kinds of ideas and other people who should be connected come to mind. And one of the things I'll talk about later today is being a rapid Holy Spirit responder. And so I just thought these were spirit promptings and I needed to respond.
A present day example of experiencing joy through serving. That's who Tom is. So let's get started.
Tom, we were at the Leadership Summit at the Satellite Broadcast at Black Hawk Ministries, and we had just heard Bill Hybels talk about a piece of clay that he had handed out and they had in the audience here at the Satellite campus. And on that piece of clay, you were supposed to write what?
He had challenged us to answer the call to leadership that is not the leadership that we normally think of, the leadership that's self-serving, that... Mm-hmm. You know, as business professionals, you may be called into leadership and you have whatever your business is, the high of the next deal, the feeling you get from success and achievement and from doing something, that's self-serving. Mm-hmm. That's using our talents to make ourselves, oh, look how good I am. Aren't I great? And I'm so good at that. I'm so achieved at self.
Let me just say, Tom, trust me, it's inbred in all of us.
I think we all are, right?
Yes, we
all care about ourselves more than most anything else. And so I heard him talk that way, and I just was like, okay, God, you're talking to me. That's who I am. That's one of my big sins is my ego and thinking how smart I am and how great I am. And that sin has led me into a lot of destruction in my life. Failed business, failed relationships, struggled relationships. And so I heard him talk about that. And he was talking about Jeremiah and how God had called Jeremiah to leadership that was not sexy, that wasn't perfect, that wasn't, hey, Jeremiah, go be my prophet and Israel is going to think you're great. No, he called Jeremiah and he said, Jeremiah, go get a clay jar And Jeremiah was like, well, what do you want me to do with the clay jar? Well, I'll tell you as we're going. Because he knew he couldn't tell him earlier or else he'd chicken out, like me.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, look, you're going to tell my people that if they don't serve me, I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to smash them. And I want you to smash the jar to illustrate it. Well, Jeremiah, having some insight, was like, well, if I smash that jar, they're going to smash me. Mm-hmm. And he did. And they did.
Mm-hmm.
And they tied him up at the gate, and they spit on him, and they slapped him, and they humiliated him. And when he was done having his pity party and cursing his mother and his birth and all this stuff, then he repented, and he went to do God's will. And so Bill Hybels had given us this clay, and he said, write on this clay the area of leadership that God's called you to. And he said, maybe you've ignored it. And for a couple years, I've been involved with an apartment complex here in Fort Wayne. And I've done everything I knew to make it successful. And I couldn't. I couldn't outdo God because he had a different purpose. For a couple years, God has connected me with some social service agents, Department of Child Services, some SAFI, which if anyone knows SAFI, they deal with foster kids. God opened my eyes to a problem here in Fort Wayne, and it's homeless kids. We have one of the worst homeless kid problems in the nation. I've heard numbers as low as 600 homeless children in Fort Wayne to as high as 2,000 that are couch surfing, that are mm-hmm. staying with adults who are exploiting them. And over the years, I've done some to help. You know, Christine will call me up and say, Christine Singleton at Department of Child Services, and say, hey, we got this kid who's in a bad situation. And you give him a place to stay. You maybe help them find a job, maybe connect them with Matthew 25 for healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done some different things to help, but never answering God's call to serve these kids the way that I believe he intended for me. So on that clay, I wrote, help to restore these children, this community of homelessness. And I dated it August 12th. And for about 2 weeks, I walked around. What should I do? What do I do? God, what do you want me to do? And I was praying to God, and I was telling him, you know, I have this huge problem. Why'd you give it to me? I don't want it. I want to run my business. I want to be successful. I want what I want. But I kept praying about it. I kept having it on my heart. I'd wake up with it on my heart. I'd go to bed with it on my heart. I was telling my associate in business, you know, we got to do this. And here's the man of God that I work with. He says, whatever door God's opening, we're going to walk through.
Hmm.
So, you know, I knew that I was on to something because Steve's made huge sacrifices for this business, and we've had huge financial losses at these buildings, and he's been patient, and we've prayed through it, and God had also put it on his heart. We had to walk through some doors, and they might be tough.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mitch... I'm gonna tell you how Mitch came into this, and he wants to be humble because he's a great guy and he has excellent character. But I walked out of that leadership conference with my clay pot, and I'm telling my father-in-law what I'd written. And here comes Mitch, and he says, well, what's this? And I told him, and he says, do you want to go to lunch? Let's go right now. Let's go right now.
I was hungry. No, I wanted to.
And here I thought the Spirit was leading you.
He was.
Through his stomach.
Through his stomach.
No, I was just amazed at what you said. As soon as you started to describe what would be written or what you were writing on the clay piece, I thought, man, we got to like brainstorm right now.
I'm so thankful for that because I probably would have walked out of there praying about it and thinking, oh, I'll do something. And I would have done what I've done for the last 2 years, which is nothing.
Mm.
Nothing. Ignoring God. But God knew I needed to meet up with you in that hallway, Mitch, at Blackhawk Church.
That's
at that
amazing.
Conference. And so we go to lunch and we sit in the back dining room.
Uh-huh.
And Mitch says, I got to text somebody. This guy, you need to talk to this guy because your vision of helping these kids and a school and helping these kids get educated, you gotta talk to this guy. And here's Pastor Whitfield, Luther Whitfield, sitting in the same restaurant with another pastor, Quincy McGee. And these two men come over to our table and they talk to me about the school and in my excitement and what am I going to do and how am I going to handle this. I heard it, but I didn't hear it. And so for 2 weeks, and as I said before, I walk around. Man, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Praying to God, praying to God. And September 1st, Mitch texts me at 2 in the afternoon, and I'm busy. I'm working away. I got all kinds of things going. This is on my mind, but I got other things on my mind. And he says, you got to come meet this guy right now.
I did, didn't I? I forgot I did that.
And I'm like, I'm thinking, now? Right now? Come on, man. I'm busy. But God won't be ignored.
Well, I want to, what's interesting to me now I'm looking at this on how God orchestrated everything. I had spent some time with Luther and Quincy right before you and I went out. It was either that morning, which I feel like it was, or maybe the afternoon before. And so when we walked in to the restaurant, I saw them sitting there, you know, and I said hi and everything. And while you're talking, I thought, oh, my goodness. And so I texted Luther, dude, you've got to come. Here's our lawnmower. I said, dude, you've got to come in here and hear somebody's heart when you're done eating. And so that was amazing on how all that worked.
Oh,
but,
really?
But then I, for months, now I want to put this piece of the puzzle together. For months, I have been trying to coordinate calendars with Corey Martin and Rob Staley of The Crossing, and we'll talk about what they are. And we just couldn't get together, and finally it worked. And I always thought when I heard about your situation and I knew that you owned those apartment buildings, in my mind, the picture was a school, that you would need a Christian school environment to actually educate, restore, rehabilitate, and then send them out to be agents of restoration. And so I had, you know, we talked about other ideas that we had going, and hello, lawnmower man. And
note to self, send memo again.
with Rob and Corey, when they started telling me about their accredited alternative Christian education experience, and then I finally was waiting for them to like just stop telling the story for a minute, and I talked to them about your situation, and they said immediately Rob said to me, we'll put a school in his apartment complex. And so that's when I texted, you got to come now.
Right. And I did. And you know, here's the amazing thing. The night before, I was praying, and God had kind of given me a message, and I've heard this since then, which is the amazing thing. That was, I was praying, God, this is a huge problem. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? How am I going to handle this? I knew I needed to do something, but I didn't know what something was. And I think sometimes that's the most profound revelation we need, is to do something, because God will answer us. And in prayer, and I have a sense of humor. It's kind of my trademark. I love to laugh. I love to joke. And I always say, we can laugh about it or we can cry about it. And I'm not much of a crier. Mm. Although, telling the story, sometimes I get emotional because I'm embarrassed that I ignored God for 2 years. And, you know, sometimes it just, you know. But anyhow, I received this from God in meditation. And it was, stop telling me how big your mountain is.
Hmm.
Quit whining. And I could just feel in my spirit, God was tired of listening to me whine. Stop telling me how big the problem is. I know how big the problem is. Why do you think I laid it on your heart?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, all right, well, what do I do? And this is when I knew it was from God. Stop telling me how big your mountain is. And start telling your mountain how big your God is.
Yeah.
And I knew, and I've heard that, and I, you know, until you live it, you can hear anything you want, but until you live it, it's academic, it's rote.
It sounds like a cliche.
Right.
Until you actually...
Until you have a big mountain that's really looming. So, I kind of had this message, okay? Tell your mountain how big your God is. Okay, God, you're big. You're going to handle it. And then here I go and I meet Mitch with these people, and it's Rob Staley, who's the founder of The Crossing School. And The Crossing School is a Christian school. They're unapologetically Christian valued. You go to school there, you're going to learn about Jesus. You may be not a Christian. You may have been broken by every relationship in your life, but we're going to pray for you. And we expect you to pray for your fellow man. And it's an accredited school, like you said. They have a focus on academics and spirituality. They're a charter school, mm-hmm. Which with all the new laws has mm-hmm. enabled them to be able to gain some state funding for their enrollment. And when I sat with Rob, Mitch just introduced us and leaves.
I had another appointment, so now this one's going longer than, and that guy was there waiting, so I just went over like a couple tables.
Couple tables, deals with the other guy.
But I kept doing this because I wanted to hear what was going on, and I wanted to know if it was working. But to give you a little bit of Rob Staley's story, have you had him on?
No.
He was principal at Concord High School, and he was expelling guys and girls. And at night, he would go to the jail and say, hey, I need to help you get your education, and we need to get you restored, and you need to know Christ. And they said, wait a minute, you expelled me today. He said, yeah, I know, but we need to get you restored. We need you to know Christ. We need to help you get your education. And so he started doing that in the jail, and then he, I think, got a car dealership to let him have a little bit of a room in back, and he started running this alternative education program to rehabilitate those kids. And his avocation became his vocation, mm-hmm. and he founded The Crossing, which is just an incredible ministry, just mm-hmm. incredible, and they have story after story.
And just to point out, that was only 2004. He had 6 students and a teacher in this warehouse space, and now they have 11 campuses throughout Indiana, South Bend, Elkhart, here in Fort Wayne, over 400 students, but I got to get a new count because our school here in Fort Wayne, which meets at the Primetime building, the Youth for Christ building mm-hmm. here at Rudisill, just south of Southside High School. Mm-hmm. And I know the enrollment there was around 40 just on September 1st. And through God's grace and the opportunities that were afforded, we had our enrollment for our drop dead day, which the last day the state will give you funding for students is September 16th. So here I meet Rob September 1st, and he says, well, we need kids. We need kids that have dropped out, that are broken. We want the worst of the worst, the kids that have been through the hardest trauma, crackhead mom, dad's in jail, the worst kids. That's who we need to start praying for. And he said, we need to hit 50 kids. And I thought, wow, that's a big goal for,
15 days.
Yeah. But nothing's impossible for God, and no mountain's too big. And our enrollment on Friday was 59 students.
Wow.
And I bet a third, maybe a half, are in troubled home situations and could benefit from housing. And really, if they don't, they're going to be able to get an excellent education from teachers. I've met the staff over there. Each one of those teachers is a missionary.
Mm-hmm.
They are a missionary to our city. They have a heart to serve. What each of them does is a ministry, and the love they have for those kids, the example they set. If I could be a third of the person mm-hmm. that they are, I'd be like 100% improvement for a guy like me.
Let me just jump in and say you're listening to Mid-Morning on the WBCO radio network and the voices you've been hearing, Mitch Cruz and Tom Strait. And we want to say thanks to Canine Companion, 11652 North, 825 West in Huntington, and Daryl and Lisa Kanafke with Midwest Plumbing and Heating on State Route 49, 10 miles west of Salina. You can visit them on the web at MidwestPlumbingAndHeating.com. It's always fun in the room during that 10-second break. That's all I can say. So, Mitch, we've been talking for about 22 minutes, and we're talking about joy, and now we're talking about service. Make the connection between what Tom has been telling us and this whole idea of joy no matter what's going on in your life.
Well, in Philippians 2, we see that serving is the sweet spot of joy. The Apostle Paul said that this joy is discovered at the intersection of serving Christ's interests, our unselfish interests, and the interests of others. And I'm looking at the guy who did that. Arthur Ashe is the great tennis player who gave his life to serving, both on and off the court. He advocated that joy could only be found in serving others. And just like the heart of the tennis racket is a sweet spot, so the sweet spot of joy resides in the heart of Christ the servant. So, Lynn, here's kind of how I teach it. I'm going to show you real quickly. If we took three circles, and the first circle would be Christ, and then we intersect it just a little bit, kind of at the halfway through southwest portion, and we're going to put my interest like that. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to draw a third circle, if you can imagine as you're listening, and that's others. What we want to look for in the sweet spot, if I do better, is right where they all overlap. Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, it's radio.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Yeah, and the idea is that that spot gets bigger and bigger the more I grow closer to Christ and then closer in community to others. They grow closer to Christ, kind of like a picture of a marriage.
Yeah.
So when I, you can see now as I'm preparing, I'm thinking about Tom's story and my encounter with him on how here he is. He's had some struggles in business. He's on Restoration Road. He's coming back. He's buying and selling apartment complexes, big multifamily units, and God's prompting on his heart. And the money, he's realizing, isn't going to do it for him. But responding to God will, that true joy mm-hmm. is only going to happen where those three circles intersect.
Tom, tell me your faith story, how you became a follower of Christ, how you came to believe in him as your Savior, and then following after him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had had a frazzled faith growing up. Wasn't connected to a religion or a church. It was in and out of it. I didn't really accept Christ till I was about 20 years old, and I had been led there through the mother of a friend who just started praying for me, said that I had a powerful calling in life, and it was the first time I'd really been talked to by, other than, you know, a parent, about having a purpose mm-hmm. and achieving and trying to make something great with my life. And so I really feel like, you know, when I accepted Christ at that time, I was young. I was pretty successful at the time. I started my first company when I was 19. So
you sounded awful like Mitch.
I don't want to be that self-aggrandizing, but I worked hard and I had values to know that, you know, through hard work and dedication and all the earthly stuff. You know, I listened to Zig Ziglar and Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. And I thought I believed my own press releases. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought I was great. I thought I was kind of a big deal. And I accepted Christ, but I wasn't firmly rooted in Christianity. You know, I was like that parable. I was growing in rocky, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. rocky soil. And so I was easily swayed from it, and I backslid for years. And I would pray and go to church, and then I was on and off. And when I met my wife, who I just married way up. I mean, my wife, I really believe she's the biggest blessing God's ever given me. And we struggle and we fight, and we both have aggressive personalities, and you know, we're both real verbal and talkative. And anybody that knows us knows that. You know, we could both have a conversation about anything, anytime, for as long as you want. But God suited us. He suited us together because she's loving and she puts up with all my nonsense. And that's more than I would never have asked God to bless my life the way that he has, especially with my family. And we have four beautiful kids who are just way beyond. Like I said, I would never have had the nerve to ask God to bless me in the way that he has.
Let me ask you a question, because Mitch has been on the air with us for several years now, and a part of his story is very similar to yours. Gifted in a lot of ways in the business arena. Smart, savvy, good with people. But that left him wanting more, and he had to come to a place of complete brokenness in his spirit. Complete brokenness. And that's when he realized that, you know what, all these things that made me feel good about myself, it's not real. And the only thing that can make me feel, not make me feel good about myself, but make me whole, is Jesus Christ.
Right.
Have you had that moment?
Oh, absolutely.
So tell me about that. Because you're, you know, we all fight with pride. But hearing your story, I hear you say that's, you know, that's the little thing that nips at my heels sometimes that the Lord is continuing to deal with.
Oh, he absolutely. I mean, that when I moved here to Fort Wayne, I moved here from Los Angeles. I'd met my wife. This is where she wanted to be. And, you know, I'd always been an entrepreneur. I was working at a job. I wanted to start my own business, and I did. And I had some success. I did pretty good. I was doing real estate, had some houses. I was probably not a good steward over it. I made so many mistakes, and it was all due to arrogance and pride. And without giving you all the details of the bloodbath, I failed miserably. I went down in a ball of flames. And that was when God really first ministered to my heart. And I knew it wasn't just accepting Christ as a Savior. It was altering your life, altering who I was. And, oh man, thank God my wife stood by me. She saw me at the lowest of the low. And when that happened, I was crushed. And God needed... He needed to do that to get my attention. I think we don't really truly embrace change until God's taken away all of our other options. And I think he warned me and he nudged me. And ultimately, I wouldn't listen. I am stubborn. And he smited me. I was
very
fully,
Old Testament word.
I was fully smited. And it was humiliating. And it's been years to recover. And it's so painful to talk about this, the ache and the hurt that I inflicted on others. I'm embarrassed by it, and I'm thankful when God does that, when he gets our attention and we don't listen and he says, listen, finally, I'm going to make you listen. I'm going to make you hear me. And tremble in your soul that I alone am the God of the universe. And he did.
Yeah.
And I embrace it because it corrected my path. And it enabled me to make some corrections in my personality and in my ability to manage not just people and finances, but my own family. It made me a better Christian. It made me a better father. And as you come through the other side and... You know, here it is 7-8 years later, I'm still dealing with consequences mm-hmm. from that. But I know that God purposed it. I know that he intended it. I know that it was my own sin that inflicted that upon me. And the last couple of years, God's nudged me. And I just figured I better answer this call or he's going to smite me again.
You know, but I hope too, Tom, that you have experienced his love because you
Absolutely.
are dear to him and he has a good plan for you. A good plan for you.
Right.
And part of the good plan for you is a good plan for so many others.
Mm-hmm.
So many others.
Yeah, I would really want listeners to hear today, Lynn, what you said about we'll search all over for different things to satisfy us, whether it be achievement or a certain relationship that maybe is different than God's design, success as the world sees it, and that will leave you dissatisfied. Your desires will not be satisfied. The only way that we'll be satisfied, the only way that we'll experience joy is to be in Christ, to fully surrender our heart, our desires, and our lives to him. And then what he does is this work in us to make our heart like his, and now we want to serve people so that they'll know Christ. And it's those three circles overlapping. But the second big, big thing I'd want a listener to hear today is what Tom's been saying, is that God uses the broken clay pots to do that ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone on this side is a broken clay pot. The question is, do I get that or not?
Mm-hmm.
And God's going to use us including our sins that he's restoring, he will use that to advance his kingdom. That's all he's got to use.
When I met Rob Staley, one of the first things he said to me, he was talking about brokenness, and he said, God has a desire to transform our mess into our message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what a great thing to say. Yeah. And, you know, I look at this school, and I look at these kids. Their lives are so messed up. They've been through hurt and trauma most of us can't even imagine. It's if you go there and meet these young men and women, you listen to their stories, your heart aches for them. Mm-hmm. But they're not. They're joyful. They some of them have, they've never known the love of an earthly father, and yet the school has introduced them to the love of their heavenly father. When we talk about joy, you know, I saw this, that we were going to talk about joy. You emailed me the topic, mm-hmm. Mitch. And joy is so much different from happiness.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, everybody seeks happiness. I've sought happiness for years. But happiness is fleeting. It's in the wind. It just relates to what's happening. Mm-hmm. And as soon as what's happening is bad, your happiness is gone.
Happen and happy come from the same root word, for the moment, just like you
for
said.
For the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But joy, when you have the joy of a Savior, when you have the joy of the hope of eternal life, to know that this flesh is a very small slice of what our soul will know for eternity,
mm-hmm.
I smile. I know that Christ gave his life, that God sent his Son to die for my sin, that no matter what I've done, his death was enough. His death, I don't have to be worthy. I just have to be willing. That no matter what I've done, and boy, my sin is vast. My sin is huge. But my God is bigger.
Yeah. And what an opportunity, like Paul, who never, ever tried to hide what he was. And all of us have deep, dark sin. It's all the same. You know, my sin is the same as Charles Manson's sin. It's not any different. Mm. You know, it's all equal. But we use that to say, I'm not what I was. You know, we point to this forgiving God who transforms us, who makes us things we could never be. And as I listen to you speak, Tom, you know, you can't change who you are. It is the power of the Spirit in you. I love that verse in Philippians that says God is giving us the desire to obey him and the power to do mm-hmm. what pleases him. So all that we want to do, all that we want to be, relies fully on the God who loves us. What relief.
Mm-hmm.
What relief.
Amen. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you want to kind of talk about the worksheet in Philippians 2 a little bit?
And I
then,
do.
And then maybe have people call?
But first we need to dance, because I need to say thanks to the underwriter again. So everyone stand up.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Canine Companion, 1165. I was kidding.
What?
11652 North 825 West in Huntington. Daryl and Lisa Kanapke, Midwest Plumbing and Heating.
Thank
State
you
Route
very
49,
much.
10 miles west of Salina. You can visit them on the web at MidwestPlumbingAndHeating.com. We need to Skype only for that moment. Only for the break moments for Skyping. It is hysterical. I wish all of you could see it, because if it would make you laugh. Tom, I don't know where you went to dance school.
Hey, L.A., New York, he has it covered.
Years of watching Danny Terrio.
It's a little bit of Laura the Dance, a little bit of Saturday Night Live.
It's
Johnny
best,
T over there.
It's my best.
Look at Johnny
Chris
T.
Farley. You know, that guy's got to dance too, okay? Don't be a hater.
Let's open the phone lines for your questions this morning. It may be something that you heard Tom share that you're going, you know what, that's where I am, or that's where I was, and I'm kind of stuck here. But whatever your question is this morning, give us a call at 260-745-9090, and we'll talk about joy until you call. And don't let our conversation get in the way of you asking your question. All right. Mm. This is a wonderful place, a safe place to ask your question, and we can pray for you and pray with you. 260-745-9090.
Well, we want those three circles to come together, serving Christ's interests, our unselfish interests, and the interests of others. And Paul, in the first handful of verses, says we must be united with Christ in order to serve his interests. So too often we pretend, kind of what Tom said, to unite ourselves with Christ only to seek our own selfish desires. However, joy comes when we humbly unite our hearts with Christ in order to serve his interests. And Jesus was humble in heart, and he taught his followers, his disciples, that humility toward God would be rewarded in a reconciled relationship with him. And so if you're listening today, we want you to fully surrender your heart, desires, and life to serve Christ, and prayerfully offer your calendar, your business card, and your checking account, a picture of your time, talent, and treasure, to be used for the advancement of his kingdom, and you begin to experience joy in serving him. Second, we want you to serve your own unselfish interests. That's right. It's acceptable to serve our own interests when they flow from a humble heart surrendered to Christ. An example is wisdom. Solomon said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The humility toward God brings wisdom. And he confirmed this. He said in Proverbs 19:8, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. So I'd encourage you today to unselfishly seek a balanced budget, health, good relationships, and growth in wisdom. Maybe solicit a friend to help you in that area of need, and meet once a week to discuss your progress. That one little thing mm-hmm. transformed my life. It's the Word of God, the people of God, the Spirit of God.
Let me ask you a question, because I often ask this question as you're sharing with us, Mitch. What does that look like? Explain that. Explain what that is. When you say we serve our own unselfish interests, people listening to us are at all places of faith and maturity in faith. And there's the verse in Psalm, I think it's 37, that says, delight yourself in the Lord, mm-hmm. and he will give you the desires of your heart. Mm-hmm. As a teenage Christian, I thought, okay, I can ask whatever I want mm-hmm. because my desire will be met. Mm-hmm. And that's a very immature understanding of that verse. But, you know, I think we need to put things in perspective so that we really understand what the Word of God is saying to us, so we don't get a faulty impression of who God is and who I am. So how do we know if something is an unselfish interest? And well, unpack that verse in Psalm for us.
Well, Psalm 37:4 says, mm-hmm. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight means to make yourself like clay, to humble yourself so you're soft in his hands. And give is Nathan in Hebrew. It means to orchestrate. So we read that verse and we interpret it like you just said. Mm-hmm. That's the way I did. But I had a young lady ask me one time, does that mean he'll tell me what they are, or he'll let me have what I want them to be?
Wait, say that again?
Does that mean that he'll tell me what they are, the desires of my mm-hmm. heart, or that he'll let me have them what they want to be, what I want them to be? And I said, that's a great question. And so I studied this for about a week to come back to a little Bible study and share my findings. And that's where I learned that give, Nathan, in Hebrew, means to orchestrate. So what happens is, as we soften our heart to Christ, as Paul's saying here, to the kingdom of Christ, to his interests, then our hearts become pliable and our desires become his. So they're one and the same. Mm-hmm. Our desires actually change, to go from selfish to unselfish, to go from my own kingdom. Tom's a beautiful illustration of this. To go from making money to build my big house, and there's nothing wrong with having your house, but to have my car, you know, but I'm doing it for me. The stuff owns me, mm-hmm. rather than me stewarding the stuff and using it to advance God's heart in other people. And so I really think the test, Lynn, is this picture of the three circles. How do I know that what I'm doing is what God wants me to do? And it's that Christ, I'm serving Christ's interests, and I'm using what he's given me in my interest to do that, and it's serving the interest of other people. I've learned, and I think from the Sermon on the Mount it teaches us, it's pretty hard to serve God without serving somebody else. Mm. And so we want to be operating with a decision in the sweet spot of where those three circles intersect. So if God has given me an asset of some kind, and I want to use that asset to serve him, kind of like the properties you have downtown, then I'm going to see how I can best do that by serving other people. Well, God laid a vision on your heart, Tom, and his vision you're seeing now is followed by his provision, that you would use this, that you thought you were going to, and you still might, but you thought you were going to buy it, lease it up, resell it, make your profit, and move on to the next deal. And God's hitting the pause button a little bit and saying, hey, we can do this a little bit differently. And that's why it's a relationship and not religion. Mm-hmm. Is because I surrender my calendar, I surrender my business card, I surrender my checking account and say, okay, God, how do I use these to best advance your kingdom through serving someone else? And I gotta still be wise in how I handle those resources, or there might not be any resources to mm-hmm. handle. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Every nonprofit knows that as well.
Your friend Troy called, Mitch, and said he's getting a lot out of the program, that you led him to Christ, and he just wanted to let you know he's enjoying you and Tom this morning. So, Troy, thank you so much for your phone call. Let's head to the phones and talk with Donna. If you've got a question, we'll leave the phone lines open for about 10 minutes. 260-745-9090 is the number. Email midmorninglive@wbcl.org. And you can also post a question on Facebook. Hi, Donna. You're on the air with Mitch and Tom and Lynn. What's your question?
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, Mitch. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
My question is...
Donna, could you speak up a little bit?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Thank you. Go right ahead.
My question is, I've been physically disabled for quite a number of years, and I know that when God saves us, we're told, you know, come to the Lord. He has a great plan for your life. And here I'm sitting, and I'm thinking... Okay, Lord, what's the plan? Still waiting to find out the plan. Mm-hmm. I know you can't tell me that, but can you tell me how I might find out?
Sure, I'll give it a try. I would encourage you to, and you probably already are, but to read through certain parts of the Bible, maybe the whole thing. You could read the whole thing in four chapters a day in a year. And I would keep a journal of verses that just pop out to you and say, you know what, that might apply to my situation. And as in keeping that journal for a year, I would also go solicit a friend, a wise friend, maybe even somebody farther down the road that you are, or somebody who's even experienced the same thing and God has used that disability to minister to other people, because I believe that's what he wants to do with you. There's no question that that's what he wants to do with you. And just hearing you articulate yourself, I know that you have that ability, that he's blessed you with that gift. And you'll be able to relate to people in ways that others can't, because you can say the most two powerful words in ministry, me too. And then I would encourage you then to pray every day, a very simple prayer. And it's a prayer that changed my life, and I'm going to try to get out without crying. I want you to pray, hey, God, what do you want me to do with my life? And I really believe that through the Word of God, the people of God, the Spirit of God, that you will experience restoration in a way that he will use you for the design that he's created for you, and that is to bring his restoration to others, because you will have a bridge that no one else will have, and that's what he wants to use you for.
Donna, I know that you pray for a lot of people. That's one of the, I think, the things that the Lord has called you to do. It seems to be the area of ministry that you have. But I'm going to ask Mitch to pray for you this morning, all right?
Yes, I'd appreciate it.
All right.
God, thank you for bringing Donna on this scene of events now, that you created her, that she did not raise her hand and say, hey, God, bring me on this scene of events. You decided that. And God, she's been given this physical challenge, so that your heart could be revealed to a lost and hurting world on this side, so that other people could experience eternity in you, joy in serving you because of her life. And God, I just pray that you would open up the parts of her heart that have never been opened before, and that her desires, the beat of her heart, would just beat for you in a unique, new way that would draw people to you. And God, that she would just give it all to you. Her time, her talent, her treasure, and just say, God, use this as you would. Use this for me to serve others so that they serve you and operate in the sweet spot of joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for calling, Donna.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. I've not heard it said that way. Open up portions of her heart that she's not experienced before. How did you say that?
It must have been a God thing.
Oh, well. No, it's such a beautiful picture. Yeah, that there are
places.
Yeah, that we're not even aware of, or hurts mm-hmm. that we don't even identify.
Exactly.
Yes. Let's head back to the phones where Nick is calling. He's on a cell phone this morning. Nick, good morning.
Morning.
What's your question for Mitch or Tom? Or do you have a comment?
I kind of have a question.
All right.
You're talking about, like, joy I've ever heard this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a question. My question is, how does one experience joy when such just like terrible things happen? I mean, I don't really want the world, but like, for example, for me, I'm 24. I have trouble with disability academically. I had to quit school because college was too high a requirement for me. And
mm-hmm.
I just get a lot of denial in life, and I don't know how you, it's just hard to understand the joy in that. Why is it the good?
Yeah. Mitch, you start, and then Tom, I'm going to have you jump in.
I would encourage you to look at last month's worksheet for Chapter 1, Joy and Suffering, because God wants to use our challenges, our broken pieces of clay, to bring restoration to others, and that's the sweet spot of joy. And it's amazing to me how we'd rather, and this is one of the most powerful places in Scripture, is Philippians 2:14. We have a tendency, there's something that's hardwired in us that we want to complain or argue about our position in life. And it was the second verse that I taught my eldest daughter, and I taught my youngest daughter the same verse to memorize. Do everything, not some things. And I'm convicted myself when I say this, but do everything without complaining or arguing. And the reason is, the next verse, it says that we're to be pure and blameless. Now, blameless doesn't mean sinless. I'm going to go with that word first. Blameless doesn't mean sinless. It means without fault. So the only way I can be without fault is to confess. So confess means to agree with God. I agree with God about my sin from His perspective, that this is where I'm complaining or arguing. This is where I'm making life all about me. And then pure is a picture of metal that has the impurities removed from it, so it's not weakened by the impurities. And so when we confess to God our sin, 1 John 1:9 says that He purifies our hearts, He cleanses us, He restores us, and takes that unrighteousness away. And now we have a purely devoted heart to Christ so that we can go serve other people. And I would just encourage you, Nick, for a moment, just to kind of hit the pause button on the perspective of the circumstances being bad for a minute and say, now, wait a minute, God can use this if I surrender this to Him in a way to help other people with an academic disability, to help other people who have struggled with the perspective of their trials like I am. And I got to tell you, Nick, I was where you are in different arenas, and I thought, God, I've done it. There. That finally did it for me. God will never be able to use me to minister to anybody. And as I counseled with some unbelievably wise pastors, saying, did I blow it? Is it too late? I got the same message from so many people. And they said, Mitch, you're making your standard higher than God's. From cover to cover in the Scripture, He uses the brokenness of people to minister to others. So receive the forgiveness, receive God's grace, and move on and go minister to other people. And don't wait. Tom?
What a great answer. Nick, we live in a fallen world, and sin is all around us, and our own sin abounds. Your story sounds to me like a lot of the students that we have at the Crossing. You've been broken. You've had failure. It is not too late. It's never too late to embrace the purpose God has for your life. So whatever failure, whatever brokenness you've had, you can make your mess your message. God will transform your wounds into your weapons.
I'll just add one thing. I'm so glad these guys are here, Nick, because I'm coming at it from a female perspective and a mom. I just want you to know that how much God cares about you. He sees your pain, and He cares about that, Nick. And he wants to help you deal with those things in life that are causing you great distress. Mitch has given you great advice. Tom has given you great advice. I want to go back to something that Mitch says all the time. I don't know what kind of people you have around you, if you've got people that are loving and supportive. But God works in the context of other people most of the time. He speaks to us in our quiet time. He ministers to us that way. But he generally does his greatest work through the hands of other people. So if you don't have a church community that you're involved in, Nick, I would suggest that you find one and make your needs known. We often keep those things secret. We say, I'm fine, when they ask us that. But to be honest about what your struggle is and allowing others to come alongside of you. You talk about your disability and with regard to education. That does not have to stand in the way of you getting an education. You'll need a little more help along the way, but there's that available to you. So get involved in a church community. Have people praying with you. Have people come alongside of you. Have fun with people. Laughter is a big part of healing in life. That's what happens in a church community. So we just offer you that advice and pray that God will give you not only direction, but allow him to love you, and also ask him to give you the willingness to follow after him. We don't do this in our own power, Nick. The Spirit of God that lives in you as his child is the power that raised Christ from the dead. That's pretty big power. And God wants to transform you and give you the power to live this life fully. So, Mitch, will you pray for our friend Nick?
Sure. God, I just pray for Nick that you would restore him.
Yes.
God, that he would find the academic pathway that suits his gifts that you've given him, and that he would pursue that and he would not quit. Whatever it is, God, whether it's a passion that you've put in him for children you want him to teach, whether it's some kind of a technical ability that you've given him and you want him to go use it to serve others. God, I pray that first and foremost he would discover that, he would know what that is, and God, he would take it a step at a time and never quit the pursuit of what you have designed him to do and who you've designed him to be and where you've designed him to go. God, we love you and we praise you, and I just pray that you'll bring people around Nick who will be part of this restoration, God,
yes,
and that he will experience your Holy Spirit in a way unlike he's ever experienced before. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Nick, if you don't mind, I'd like to put you on hold and get your either phone number or email address, because our listening audience is very responsive to the movement of God in their hearts. And often when people like you call in and have a need, there's somebody that God is listening that can be the next step for you. So if you're okay with that, I'm going to put you on hold and Cheryl will pick up. And if you want to give her contact information, anybody who gets in touch with us and says, you know that young man, Nick, I've got a place or a job, or I've got something that might help him with school, we can pass that information on to you. And then if you want to contact them, you can.
Okay,
I'm going to put you on hold. A big thanks on this Tuesday morning to General Credit Union, four locations throughout Fort Wayne. We appreciate their partnership and ministry as we're talking with Tom Strait and Mitch Cruz. Mitch, we've got about 3 minutes left, so let's sort of wrap up with the worksheet and hit some of the high points here.
Well, if we don't get anything, we need to get to do everything without complaining or arguing. It literally transforms a life. It changes perspective. It changes passion. It changes relationships around us. But Paul in Philippians 2 gives us the ultimate example of humility through what's called a literary chiasmus, which is a pendulum. And it shows you verse by verse in 5 through 11 on how Christ comes from God all the way down to the very bottom, to death, even death on a cross. And then he brings it through this literary chiasmus, this pendulum, he brings it back up that God's exalted him to the highest place in the heavenly realm. And what we get from that picture is that in God's kingdom, the pathway up is down. And so that's just a huge paradigm shift in life. And then Paul uses this picture of light. He first tells us to connect with the light of Christ, that spiritual vitality of life. And he said something similar to what just oozed out of Lynn's mouth earlier, is that he challenged them to work out their salvation with fear and trembling or humility. And work out meant digging in minds. In other words, he was saying to first century believers, just live out your salvation. But the next verse tells you how. It's by the power of God who is at work in you. So it's just what Lynn said naturally. We're not going to earn our salvation. We're going to live it out because the power of God, this energy of God, is going to be in us to help us obey. We surrender to Him. That's what life is, a relationship with Him. And so I encourage, if you're listening today, to connect with the light and become a rapid Holy Spirit responder. And then we reflect the light of Christ, and we do that by being blameless and pure, not complaining or arguing. And then what we need to do is direct others to the light of Christ so that they will see Christ in us and they will want to live in that sweet spot of joy in serving others. So we be intentional. We become intentional about directing others to the light of Christ. In order to experience a sweet spot of joy in serving, we must seek the heart of Christ. And when we humble ourselves as servants in Christ, He leads us to serve others who will be drawn to serve Him. This brings incomparable joy as we connect with Christ's light, reflect His light, and direct others to His light.
You'll find today's worksheet on our website, WBCL.org, and click on Mid-Morning, today's and last week's as well. Thank you, Mitch Cruz and Tom Strait, and a big thanks to General Credit Union for locations throughout Fort Wayne. These good friends have helped to make today's Mid-Morning possible. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned. Ross McCampbell is up next on Family Friendly and Commercial Free, WBCL.